I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of The Memo for this Monday, the 19th of December. I'm Brad Locke with Derek Russell, producer Chris Kiefer, and I hope everyone's already posted their picture of their weather picture on Facebook or Twitter.
What are you talking about?
Oh, everybody's posting about how cold it is compared to 2 days ago. Guys, the weather, man. Look at the temperature. Let me Facebook this for you, because you don't know by stepping outside that it's freaking cold.
Because you're only a mile away. Certainly, it's 70 degrees where you are.
Hey guys, did you know it was 70 degrees?
Did you know we had tornadoes last night? And now there's like nearly snow out there.
I'm glad you posted that picture. I had no idea. I was holed up in my bathroom for the last 3 days. I didn't know what the weather was like.
Been on a bender. Where am I? How did I end up in Mississippi?
I like to make fun.
I will say the one tweet I saw that did stand out to me was John Pitts about his drive home on Saturday night, I guess. Oh, yeah. About he left here and it was, I don't know, 70. And by the time he had gotten to Guntown, it was already like 20 degrees colder. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. But
yeah, he has to drive all the way back to Corinth.
But just the fact that, you know, I guess he caught it right as it was dropping. But
it fell in a hurry.
In the matter of 30 minutes, it dropped 20 degrees.
It is crazy, though, the weather around here, but especially this past weekend from, again, 70. I'm wearing flip-flops on Friday, and then Saturday I'm freezing. Mm. Or no, it was Saturday you got up to 70.
Tornadoes.
Saturday it did, right.
And then Sunday was cold. Yeah.
Tornadoes.
We had a tornado, did we?
Tornadoes.
Is that confirmed?
I don't know. We had strong tornadic-like winds.
Hmm. Okay.
Blew the roof off of KFC.
Did it really blow the roof off?
It's kind of late in the year for tornadoes, isn't it?
We had one on Christmas Eve last year.
Did we? It's just,
that was Holly Springs.
I forget.
Yeah,
I forget.
Was it the 23rd?
It was like 23rd.
It's 23rd, but
I keep forgetting that tornado season here runs longer than some places. Because like in Kansas, they're getting snow already.
It all just depends on when the cold weather comes, I guess. But, you know, it's kind of up and down as the temperature's been, obviously, when you get that warm.
Yeah, when you get that such a fluctuation in temperatures that quickly, I guess.
You know, we never really got a fall this year.
Do we ever get a fall?
I mean,
did the leaves even change colors? I think a few did. Basically, they all just went, they were suddenly in my yard one day without even changing color. Just, there they are in the yard. You got to rake them up.
Just went from hot to cold pretty quickly.
Listen, I love Mississippi, but I'm just kind of done with the weather here. Like, you know, part of me just wants to move somewhere where you actually get four seasons. That would be nice to experience. I don't know what that's like. And I love autumn. It's my favorite season, but we, like, don't really get one.
Do you think you'll ever move, Brad?
Probably not. Oh. Mississippi has a way of sucking you back in. I've left a couple of times. And that keeps...
Well, that usually has to do with the legal authorities bringing you back here. You weren't supposed to leave the state in the first place.
Dang probation. Anyway, enough weather talk. There's a dollar for the anyway jar. How was your weekend, Derek?
It was a weekend.
Had fun at the quote along, the Christmas vacation
you
quote
came.
Along.
You came. I appreciate did. That.
I did.
I was glad to see you there. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I like to support local things like that when I have time.
Would have liked a bigger crowd, but we did.
It wasn't too
bad.
40, 50 people.
About
well,
70.
Actually, more than that, because I don't know how many are in the balcony.
Yeah, we had about near close to 80, I think.
That's pretty good.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Did you laugh?
Oh, I laughed. Now, I've seen that movie.
Okay,
I've seen that movie a bunch of times.
For some reason, I thought you were one of the ones that clapped when I went up on stage and asked if anybody has never seen this before.
No, it wasn't me. Yeah, I couldn't believe some people actually clapped. I was like, really? Okay, I'm the guy who hasn't seen a lot of movies, but I've seen this one.
I tried to get him to come up on stage, but I wouldn't. Come up on here and let me humiliate you a little more. That wouldn't work. We had a good time, though.
Yeah, that movie always makes me laugh.
Did you enjoy the quoting, the words on the screen? Did that enhance your holiday, too?
It did. I had fun quoting along and quoted some that were the words weren't on the screen.
I appreciate that. There were several that yelled out quotes that weren't on the screen. Next year, we've done the same quotes for 5 years, so I think I'm going to change it up next year and do different ones.
Does the program allows you to choose?
I had to create the technology, basically, that does it. I have to go in and manually do it.
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah. Well, you figure there was about 50 quotes on screen, and there's probably 400 lines of dialogue, 500 lines of dialogue in the film. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a lot to do.
You have to go in.
Like that.
Which is why I've probably used the same one for 5 years, because after I got done the first year, I was like, done, we're not doing this again. But then I know every single one of them, so it's not fun anymore. Now I want to change it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's good. We made money for Tupelo Community Theater, so that was
the always a good thing. Yes. It's a good time. It's probably I don't know if it's my favorite Christmas movie. It might be. You know, what's funny, though, I went back, because I like to read old movie reviews. Mm-hmm. It's funny to look back. The reviews for Christmas Vacation were not terribly favorable. Some people were like, oh, no, it's funny in parts, but it doesn't work here, and the jokes fall flat. And I'm like, I don't know what movie you watched. That movie cracks me up every time.
It's a good movie. Yeah. Sometimes it's funny to go back and read reviews of old films and see how not heralded they are.
I can't believe Billy Madison didn't get better reviews.
Well, that one I'm not surprised about. No. But it's funny to watch.
Yeah.
Go back and read a lot of those. And occasionally when a big film will come out or have its anniversary or they do a re-release, like Variety will read our 1984, review of it, like Ghostbusters, and it's like
1.5 stars.
Yeah, it's like they could have done better, and then you fast forward 30 years, like they couldn't have done a thing better.
Even Roger Ebert swings and misses sometimes.
Yeah, knows. Wow.
God rest his soul.
He's dead.
Well, yeah, but he didn't give it he gave it like 2 stars.
Ghostbusters?
Christmas Vacation. Yeah.
Wow.
He wasn't very. He wasn't real keen on Chevy Chase's performance.
They didn't like It's a Wonderful Life very much when it came out, but they were wrong.
Sometimes the critics are dumber than the masses. Not usually, but sometimes.
I'd like to read reviews of Citizen Kane from 1941.
Or what, the greatest movie of all time?
Yeah.
According to some people?
Yeah.
What were the reviews back then, I wonder?
I can tell you.
They make too big of a deal over this Rosebud then.
What is Rosebud? I understand it.
I still haven't seen that whole movie, but now I know the ending, so it kind of spoils it.
Sorry.
It's fine. You'll live. I was going to try to find the actual review from 1941 for Citizen Kane.
I've looked up a couple of old reviews before. It's interesting to read them.
Ebert gives it 4 out of 4 Rotten Tomatoes, 100%.
Who?
Here we go. Citizen Kane is superb. 1941 review from the Daily News. Most talked about picture of the year. Orson Welles production. It's weird reading stuff from 1941 on your computer screen.
I know.
Orson Welles production of Citizen Kane finally had its New York premiere at the Palace Theater last night, where an eager first night audience enthusiastically applauded the young theatrical man's latest achievement. Blah, blah, blah. Yada, yada, yada. Orson Welles. The picture will run indefinitely at the Palace on a 2-day schedule.
Till people stop coming.
They don't actually give I don't know, maybe they didn't do that back in 1941.
They probably were not obsessed with ratings and such back then.
Well, like we are. Yeah,
they didn't have a lot of options
probably didn't
either.
Exist, but yeah.
Yeah, and that's probably why it ran indefinitely. There were not as many movies back then being made. Mm-hmm. Today, there's way too many movies.
They just spoil the whole thing. He dies alone and friendless. Well, good. I mean, I know that's the beginning of the movie, but still. Welles displays touches of genius in the handling of his story. His cast, made up of players from his Mercury Theater group, respond like sensitive musicians to the movements of the conductor's baton. Blah, 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 blah. This guy's dead, too. So, the story was written originally on May 2nd, 1941, by Kate Cameron. I'm sorry, she's dead. Maybe he. I don't know. Well, that was fun.
That's a fun
memory lane. Yeah.
Good weather and movie talk.
Yeah.
If you want more, call the movie line.
842-8422.
You get your weather there as well, can't you? Or is that a different line? Ever remember calling the weather line?
I don't.
I remember doing that.
What? Oh, yeah.
Back you get the movie schedules?
Yeah. Time temp.
Time temp plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Is that still a thing? Probably not.
It is.
Is it? Really? Mm-hmm. Even though we have Google and stuff?
Of course it still is. In fact, I think they tried to make it where you had to pay for it if you were doing it from a touchstone phone a while back.
Okay.
There was some kind of legislature being passed for it. Here, we'll see.
Thank you for calling TickTick2. For information about Time Temp Plus, press 3 now or press star for a menu. The temperature is... For weather, press 1.
There we go. For weather, press 1.
Forecast for today is mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming mostly sunny. Highs in the mid-30s. North winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight's forecast.
Who's north?
Cloudy in the evening.
Why is he running so fast?
Cloudy. Lows in the mid-20s. Northeast winds around 5 miles per hour.
It's going to be cold, in other words.
It's recorded, but I love it if I've just been handed a bulletin. We're all going to die. Immediately. Well, let's go ahead and get started. We've got a full show for you today. Bobby Harrison's going to be joining us from Jackson, as well as Lauren Wood, our photographer here at the Daily Journal. And William Moore will be telling us about what he's been spending his time doing the last 9 or 10 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Excited to hear about it.
Let's go down to Jackson now, talk with Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Brad. I'm trying to stay warm, man. It's hard.
Me too, man. I want to talk with you just for a minute about the story you had in Sunday's Journal about these frozen funds. Kind of explain to us. It's $30 million, and it has to do with the Attorney General, Jim Hood. And just kind of explain, if you can, why these funds were frozen, what's going on there.
Yeah, it's a complicated deal, and it was also turned into a bit of a political hot potato between the Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves, a Republican, and a Democratic Attorney General Jim Hood, who are viewed as the leading candidates for governor in 2019. But if you remember, Brad, back in the 2016 session, the legislature, sort of led by Lieutenant Governor Reeves and his top people in the Senate, changed the law to sweep a bunch of special funds, that fines and assessments that were levied to pay for specific items, but they stripped those funds into the general fund because they, one reason they did it was because they were having a shortfall. They didn't have enough money to fund the budget, so they swept this money into the general fund and said these items that were normally paid for through these fines and assessments, they would have to compete for general fund money like other agencies would. And the problem was, when they did that, the Attorney General, several agency departments asked for opinions, and the Attorney General's opinion was that the language they used to do this didn't do what they said it did, so a lot of this money wasn't swept into the general fund. And the Department of Finance and Administration that handles the day-to-day operation of the budget said, this is the AG's opinion, we're going to follow it. And there's been some contention about exactly how much money was not swept into the general fund. And the Attorney General at one point said it was like $80 million. The Lieutenant Governor said it wasn't any, but as it turns out, it's about $30 million. So during the 2017 session, they're going to have to change the law to get this money. They need it to, it will help fund the budget for this year. If they don't do that, there's going to be a bigger budget hole. So that's $30 million they're going to have to be dealing with during the regular session, and getting that money sort of out of limbo into to the general fund.
So what will it take to unfreeze these funds, basically?
Just a law, you know, they got to pass a bill that changes the way the wording is in the law they passed, you know, what they did last year. They just didn't, the law was written in a manner, just didn't do what they were saying it was going to do. So it's just going to, you know, take changes, you know, changing the words, you know, and, you know, words matter. And they can't just go on the intent of the legislature. They can to a certain extent, but they got to have words that, you know, do what they say they want to do.
Sure. All right, well, Bob, I know you got to get to an assignment, but people can read more about this in Sunday's Journal or at djournal.com. We'll have Bobby also on Capitol View today. We'll have that webcast around 2 p.m. as we always do. If you missed the first go-around, you can watch the replay there at djournal.com.
Brad, one other real quick aspect of the story that I didn't touch upon. If you recall, the legislative leadership admitted from almost the beginning, you know, what they said, what they were saying, that they were going to sweep a you know, if you look at the budget, there's about $186 million, roughly speaking, $185, somewhere around there, that was supposed to help fund the budget for these special fund sweeps. And they admitted almost from the beginning that $56 million of it wasn't there, that they made a mistake. So so the governor has already had to cut $56 million, and now they're counting on about $130 million. And of the $130 million, $30 million of it's not there. So if that makes sense,
right?
That's kind of where it is.
All right. Well, good stuff as always, Bobby. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. Thank you.
Hey, the memo is seeking your input on how we can improve. We would like to know what you like about the podcast and any suggestions you have to make us better. So please take our 10-question online survey at djournal.com/memo survey. You can also email us comments at memo@journalinc.com. Time now for today's news memo. And for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Lee County teachers have more money for classroom projects thanks to a local organization. That organization is called Expect, and it recently provided $23,000 in grant money for the school district's teachers. Expect stands for Exceptional Progress in Education Through Curriculum and Technology. It is a nonprofit group made up of businesses, parents, teachers, and other supporters of Lee County schools. Teachers applied for the grant funds to increase their use of technology, science, and the arts in the classroom. Saltillo third grade teachers Carmen Dye, Amanda Carpenter, Aaron Anderson, and Tabitha Russell were awarded nearly $2,000 to purchase equipment and props for Santa Tracker 2016. Students studied weather patterns and instruments as well as countries and cultures around the world. Other Expect grants include funding for classroom technology like iPads, Apple TV, and Chromebooks. Grants for technology totaled around $9,400. More than $3,300 was awarded for science-related grants.
Even though United Healthcare was denied an emergency injunction Thursday, the insurer said it will continue to pay in-network rates as North Mississippi Health Services moves to terminate its provider contracts because of a payment dispute. First District Chancery Court Judge Michael Mowski ruled Thursday that United Healthcare had not satisfied the standards for an emergency injunction. The insurer has been at odds with North Mississippi Health Services ever since the Tupelo-based hospital system discovered remittances from United that came through the electronic payment system marked as paid at $0. The unpaid bills amount to tens of millions of dollars, according to briefs filed with the Chancery Court. This fall, NMHS announced it would terminate its agreement with United Healthcare because the unpaid claims had not been resolved. United Healthcare says 97% of the disputed claims were paid correctly. North Mississippi Health Services will have to decide if it will accept the in-network payments. During Thursday's hearing, the hospital reaffirmed its commitment to turn no United Healthcare patients away.
Students across Northeast Mississippi will be out of school for the next 2 weeks, but teachers don't want them to put their brains on cruise control during the holidays. Schools generally focus on preventing the summer slide or the loss of students' knowledge during summer break, but Tupelo Schools curriculum specialist Susan Hankins said the break for Christmas can also cause students to regress. Kindergarten through second grade students in Tupelo schools are being sent home with ideas for keeping their brains active during the break. Parents also can access educational resources at any time on both the Tupelo Public School District and Lee County School District websites. Hankins said the most important skill to practice is reading because it touches all other subjects. She recommends students spend about 15 minutes reading per day to keep their literacy skills sharp. Students can also use holiday activities like baking, grocery shopping, and traveling to sharpen math, reading, and organizational skills.
Longtime Tupelo City Council Clerk Glenda Muse is retiring after more than two decades of service. Muse, who had held the clerk's position since 1995, will serve through at least some of January. That means her last city council meeting to attend as clerk will be January 17th. Her departure will mean years of experience and institutional memory lost, according to past and present council members. Fred Pitts, who served as council president during the 2009 to 2013 term, said Muse will be extremely hard to replace. As clerk of the council, Muse must write the minutes for all council meetings. Once approved by the council, these minutes form the official record of the council's actions and discussions. She also compiles the agendas for each meeting of the city council and organizes the relevant supporting documents. The council hopes to find Muse's replacement by the first meeting in January.
An Elvis impersonator who was wrongfully arrested for sending poison letters to the president and others in a 2013 case is again suing the federal government. Paul Kevin Curtis of Corinth filed the lawsuit Tuesday in U.S. District Court in Oxford, and in the suit he says federal prosecutors held him in jail for 5 days, even though there was no evidence he was responsible for mailing letters dusted with ricin to President Barack Obama, Senator Roger Wicker, and Lee County Justice Court Judge Sadie Holland. After Curtis was released, federal agents arrested James Everett Dutschke, a former martial arts instructor from Tupelo. Dutschke eventually pleaded guilty to the crime and was sentenced to 25 years in prison. Attorney James Moore, who is representing Curtis, said his client was detained based on flimsy evidence and portrayed as a terrorist in the media. This is the third time Curtis has sued the government. He filed similar suits in April 2015 and January 2016 with a different set of attorneys, and both were dismissed because of inaction. Moore hopes to have a trial date set for late 2017 or early 2018.
William Moore joining us today. William, you got to play the part of Steve Guttenberg.
I guess you could say that.
Were you Mahoney for the past few weeks? You've been taking part in the Citizens Police Academy.
It actually started back in September.
Yeah, several weeks you've been doing this.
It was a 10-week program, and then it sort of extended briefly to let the participants go through the shoot, don't shoot simulator out at the police academy.
I thought maybe they extended it so they could make all of you guys move in all the equipment to the new police academy. While you're here, just get a few boxes on your way out.
No, but we did have fun.
Well, that's good.
I mean, it gave us a chance to see, you know, a little better idea. You know, for 10 weeks, you know, they sat basically in a classroom and tried to tell us what officers went through. Mm-hmm. You know, and there were some videos that would show you bits and, you know, some dash cam stuff. But this machine, it's called the FATS machine, the firearms trading scenario.
FATS, I got you.
Yeah.
I heard FATS.
You know, it's funny, when I was trying to get ready for it, the instructor compared it to the old duck shoot video game.
Duck Hunter? Nice.
And basically, you're in a large room, and it's big video projected on the wall. So, I mean, so the people that you're seeing are actually life-size.
Okay.
And you're sitting there with a gun. I mean, it's a real Glock pistol. It's been converted. It has a laser in it. It has a compressed air that actually operates the slide, so it looks, feels, and sounds like a real gun.
Goodness.
But all it shoots is a laser beam.
Uh-huh.
And you're put in these situations, and you have to figure out, all right, well, what do I need to do? You know, and how you react, you know, just through your voice commands, body language, can actually change the way that the scenario goes. I mean, you know, they can either comply, or it could be somebody with a gun getting ready to shoot you.
What did you tell me? There were 250?
There's over 250 different scenarios.
Yeah. So walk us through one. I mean, are you like in an alley? Or you? Were,
oh, well, I mean, most of them, well, it could be an alley. But I mean, there were some where you were rolling up on like an apartment complex and there'd mm-hmm. been a disturbance.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them involve traffic stops. I mean, there was one I did. I mean, you roll up at a traffic stop, you pull the guy over, and there'd been you hear the report over the radio say, all right, well, this guy is known to be belligerent to police officers.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, you know, the guy gets out of the SUV and starts walking towards you, screaming and hollering and cursing.
Mm-hmm.
And they do curse in these simulations. It's real to life. Yeah, and he's coming towards me, and then he stops. You know, and he goes back and says, "You know, I got something for you."
No. Miles and all off. Of a
sudden, next thing you know, he's pulling out a gun and starts shooting.
Good gosh, okay.
You know, and you've realized, you know, in sometimes, you know, it can be that fast. I mean, literally, he's sitting there, was just screaming and hollering. All of a sudden, next thing you know, he pulled out a gun.
Yeah.
And started shooting. You know, it really, you know, officers really do have a split second to make a decision whether or not to shoot. And, you know, they brought us into the machine in groups of three
mm-hmm.
so that everybody wouldn't see all the scenarios.
Right.
And it's amazing, you know, how many times, you know, you sit there and try to wait for somebody to do something to see whether or not you're supposed to mm-hmm. pull out a gun or shoot. You know, most of us just being civilians and not trained, we got shot.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of scary to make you, you know, gives you a better appreciation of the folks that, you know, strap on a gun and put on a badge every night and go out there where the bad guys are.
What would happen when your avatar or whatever got shot?
Well, for us doing it, it was just simply we heard a loud noise.
Yeah.
But for when actual officers are training, they have basically, it's a paintball gun that shoots these hard foam balls.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
And literally, I mean, if you hear when you hear the gunshot from the screen, you can actually feel something hitting you as well.
Yeah. That was what I was curious about. I wondered if there were any effects felt.
Well, they didn't do that for us.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they use it, you know, during the real cadet.
We should have called them. Just hit William. It's fine. Just knock him once.
I'm surprised the instructor didn't do that, but they had it disabled for everybody, so they couldn't go back and quickly reinstall it and load it up.
So the machine actually does something to you? I wonder if it was just somebody else in the room.
The instructor actually has a little joystick. There's infrared light. There's sensors everywhere in this room, so they can see exactly where you're shooting the gun.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, and it's very accurate. I mean, they can actually do target practice inside this room with the simulated gun. But he's sitting there with a joystick and an infrared camera, so he can see wherever the person going through the scenario is standing.
Yeah.
If they move around, he can sit there and track them with the little paintball gun and just fire at will.
Is this in the new building?
This is in the new building at the hang on, North Mississippi Law Enforcement Training Center.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's at the police academy. It's yeah. not at the new police department station. On Front Street.
Right. Okay.
It's out there at the training academy. I mean, you know, basically the folks that go through the police academy courses mm-hmm. each, you know, throughout the year go through this. I mean, there are other agencies come by and use the machine as well. You know, and actually, I mean, they can even use it for you know, training new folks how to handle a gun. Mm-hmm. I mean, how to, you know, quickly remove the gun from a holster and fire shots.
I mean, did you have a holster? I mean, were you?
The instructor tried to get me to use a holster, yeah. and it's sort of like, I would have too much trouble trying to get the gun out, and I know I would get shot on that one.
Defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
So
you were already just.
I walked up with the gun out.
So sidearm,
just raise, signature side.
I just wondered how. I'm trying to get a visual of how you look going up to it.
I mean, it was a unique perspective to get, and you know, it was fun. You know, and I can see where you could probably have a lot of fun just playing with this machine.
It sounds bad to say, but you know,
it's a big video game.
Yeah.
But basically, they won't let folks go through it more than twice, just because they don't want folks picking up on what the different scenarios are.
You.
So, all right, well, I know. All right, I've seen this one before. I know this guy's fixed to pull out a gun and come charge me. I'm going to plug him before he gets a chance to get me.
You want to know.
They want it to be as realistic as possible.
Yeah.
You know, and on top of that, I mean, they can even do it where it's a nighttime scenario as well, using a flashlight with an infrared beam where wherever the little flashlight shines on the wall, that's the only part of the video that is illuminated for the officer.
That sounds mildly terrifying.
When they brought that out, just started talking about it, I was thinking the same thing, because you have this big, large screen. I mean, it's large as life, and all you can see is where you're shining your flashlight, but it would give you an accurate representation of what would happen at night.
We've spent more time on this section of it than the entire duration of the academy, but how many times did you die?
I only died once.
Well, that's good.
I mean, you only got to go through twice, and the second scenario, it wasn't a shooting scenario, mm-hmm. but, you know, the person was going for something that could have been a gun, and you had to stop and pay attention and make sure that they were going to comply.
All right. Well, as far as the rest of the academy goes, I mean,
That was basically, it was the final event. You know, yeah. Half the class went through last week. The other half is going through the beginning of this week, just because it takes a while to go through these scenarios.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, we all had fun. And, you know, the police department is already working on having the next Citizens Police Academy sometime next year.
So it lasts about 9 weeks. You guys last
They're still tweaking that. It's probably going to go to once a week for 11 or 12 weeks next time.
Okay. All right, William. Thanks for joining us today.
Glad to do it.
Hey, look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Your Alley is a high school sports podcast with myself, Blake Morgan, and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free on iTunes, your podcast apps, or at prepyouralley.djournal.com. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon or thereabouts, in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis. On the Bulldogs and Rebels, you can listen to it for free on iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. No episode of Double Coverage this week, as the guys are taking some time off. They'll be back the week after Christmas.
Also, I want to remind you can wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi, and a five-minute video. Shows are posted each Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices.
Let's welcome in Lauren Wood to the show again. Lauren, how are you on this Monday?
Hi.
This is more your type of weather, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is normal for Lauren.
Well, my friend in Chicago, she Snapchatted it's -3 degrees there. So.
Well, so it could be worse.
So everyone complaining about how cold it is. Could be worse.
Well. So. So how do they say pecan in Michigan? They don't say pecan.
I never really said it, and then when I moved to, I mean, I didn't eat that stuff. Like, I didn't eat pecan. My sister loves pecan pie
pie.
I never ate it, so I got like really self conscious when I moved to Natchez, like my first time living in Mississippi, because I realized there were about 5 different ways to say it, and I didn't know how to say it. I was like, Well, people say it differently. Right. There's five different ways that people say it.
Just for the record, people, it's pecan.
Yeah, I say it pecan.
There you go.
Yeah.
You learn fast. Uh-huh. Well, I asked that because, of course, you got to go do a really cool in-focus photo essay at the Duke Pecan Company down in West Point.
Yes.
Not to be confused with the other Duke, with the David Duke Pecan Company.
Yes.
Totally separate, just coincidental that they're both named after people with the last name Duke in the same region. It's weird. But you got to go see how things work. It looks like a really cool deal, even if you don't like pecans.
It was really neat. And I think probably the coolest thing that I realized was they like get pecans in bulk and process them there. But a big part of their operation is people picking pecans like in their yard and then bringing them in like a like a plastic Kroger bag and then dropping it off. And then they'll shell them, however they want them and give them back to them. So they'll process. They like process a lot of people's pecans.
Oh, okay. So, that's cool.
And then I also learned this because I wasn't aware. I was like, so I had to ask what would be the benefit of like getting cracked pecans versus like, why don't you have them completely shelled? And
they're very hard to crack.
Yes. And the Duke family informed me that it's tradition, like a big part of tradition is like sitting together and kind of cracking your pecans.
Right, true.
Yeah. So they said that's why they'll kind of get them started. They'll be like a piece cracked and, you know, get them started on cracking them. So I've learned that that's a very Southern tradition.
Yes, it is.
Is picking pecans in your front yard and then sitting together and cracking them all.
That and shelling peas and green beans. I've done that too.
So that was neat.
And of course, pecans make me at least think of Christmas and the holidays. Because again, pecan pie is delicious. Mm-hmm. And then you've got other like chocolate covered pecans. And they sell some of that too, there, don't they?
Yeah, they do. So
that kind of stuff.
And products. They're open all year round, but obviously this is their busy season.
Oh, I bet it is.
So, so at their processing facility, it's actually like there's glass doors and it's kind of, you can see into the back. And even when I was there, like a little boy kind of peeked in and came through. And so they're open and they want to like show people the process.
Right,
and so they're like, yeah, come on back. And
they
wanted people to kind of see behind the scenes and what was going on. So,
yeah. What kind of machinery they got here? I was looking at it. I don't know what kind of machine it takes to crack pecans, but...
Yes, I don't know if there's, like, a specific name for them, but I was, like, a cracking machine, a blowing machine, a shelling machine, and a, like, sealing machine.
Huh.
So there's, I don't know, like I said, there's probably, like, official names for them.
Right.
But that's what they do.
How many people were back there?
They only had two people working back there.
Yeah, it seemed like a small operation.
And they had down pat. They were kind of rolling through everything.
Wow. Yeah. And it was founded like way back in the 1930s by L.A. Duke.
Yes.
Was the name of the founder. And so this has been a family business the whole time?
This is, I think, the third generation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's still in the family, right?
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
So T.A. Duke, and then his son Bill Duke now is the owner. So kind of just went through all the Dukes.
Where's it located exactly?
It is downtown West Point. It's like
not hard to find,
6th Avenue or something.
I got you.
I forget the,
Yeah. But it should be easy to find if you get to downtown West
Point. Yep. And there's actually a big sign if you're going down 45. There's like a big sign that like 6 blocks that way.
Yeah.
So you can't miss it.
That's cool. That's cool.
Uh-huh.
But you're not a fan of pecan pie?
I mean, I'll make it. I'll bake it.
You're going to make me a pecan pie? Is that what you said? Okay.
Cool. Oh, okay.
No, he doesn't like to eat it. It's good stuff, though. My wife.
I like them by themselves, but I'm of the camp where I don't like nuts in my dessert.
Okay, I get that. I'll eat them in just about any
like
form.
Brownies do not need nuts. I'm sorry.
I can see that.
Nope.
I prefer my brownies just to be
I know,
all
and
brownies.
There's two camps, so.
I'm fine with either one. So you don't like peanut M&Ms? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Those are like that's like a delicacy to me. Peanut.
My mom liked those.
M&Ms. Yeah. Regular M&Ms are okay. But put peanuts in there? Chocolate covered peanuts. You ever had a chocolate covered payday? Those are hard to find.
Yeah.
One of the best things I've ever had.
I don't eat those probably because there's nuts in them.
I know, but I'm just saying. Asking the room. They're.
I'll eat a Snickers bar, but I guess. I prefer Milky Way.
Warren's not big on...
And Three Musketeers.
Pecans and other assorted nuts. Okay.
They're good by themselves.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, y'all can find this in focus in today's journal. You can find even more photos at djournal.com. Yeah. Lauren, always a pleasure. Thank you.
And if you're in West Point,
yes,
go to Duke Pecan Company.
Indeed. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, another fine episode in the books there, Derek.
If you say so.
I think it was great.
All right.
We had William Moore talking about the Citizens Police Academy. We had Lauren Wood talking.
We had William Moore talking about the... Yeah, huh? What?
I wasn't in the room for that one. Inside baseball there.
That's all right.
We had Lauren Wood talking about the pecans, not the pecans.
No, don't say pecan. I'll kill you.
We had Bobby Harrison via satellite, sat phone, talking about those frozen funds. I still don't really understand the story.
Via telegraph.
Telegraph. Beep. Yeah. Boop. We're doing shows Wednesday and Thursday as well, I'm assuming. I'm going to be here.
I haven't heard differently. So, okay. Chris? Oh, he's gone.
Chris left the room. He left us in charge for the end of the show.
No, you know that's a bad idea.
he's gonna hate us having to edit all this.
On that note, no shows on Wednesday and Thursday. Yay! We'll just be here today only. No, we don't get to make that call. So.
No, we don't.
Yes, I assume we'll be here. You're gone all next week, correct?
All next week I'm gone after Christmas, yes. I'll be in St.
Louis.
Who's
doing a news break for you?
This is not my problem. Mm. Incidentally, are you going to be here next week?
Not now. I'll be here some.
Chris Kiefer's going to have to do it all himself?
Chris Kiefer looking just fine on that camera.
He can handle it.
Break. He's a professional. He'll get it done.
I was telling somebody the other day, I was like, you know, if somebody came along to the journal who's younger and much more attractive than I am, which would not be hard to do, I'd be fine letting them take over.
We've got a few of those out there already.
True, we already have some, so maybe we should go.
One of them's last day is tomorrow.
Oh, Zach. Mm-hmm. Oh, we should have had Zach on the show today. But today's his day off.
Well, we could record something tomorrow with him to say goodbye.
True, we could. Zach Orsborn.
I'm going to take him to lunch tomorrow. I'm trying to get everybody to.
Okay. Yeah, Zach Orsborn, our general assignment reporter, is leaving for a new opportunity, I think, in Memphis.
Memphis.
So we're going to miss him. He's multi-talented. He doesn't just write. He takes really good pictures. He's great at design. He's young and smart and going to move on to more adventures, so wish him the best. But, yeah, hopefully we'll be able to corral him and get him in here, talk about his time with us. He hadn't been with us that long. But he's
year
done a
and
lot.
A half.
He's done a lot, though.
Yeah, he's done a lot in that time period.
So. Yeah, he has. So, we'll miss Zach.
I'll miss you.
What?
You're fired.
What?
Sorry. that was meant for off air.
Chris will edit that out.
Yeah, come in next week and don't come back.
No, as I was saying, though, I'd enjoy doing Newsbreak, but, you know, this ain't a face made for TV or webcast or whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
So... Again, I'm willing to do it, but if we can find someone with better, let's say, better camera presence, I'm fine with handing over the reins.
Okay.
I'm just kind of holding the fort down until that happens, I guess.
All right, if you say so.
I'm sure you would agree.
I have no comment on the matter. We should probably say goodbye, though.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody. We hope your Monday is wonderful and try to stay warm and don't burn anything down.
Please.
Watch out for those space heaters. Seriously.
Yeah. How's your house holding up?
It's fine. I need to get the fireplace going first, although I never got the chimney checked.
Yeah.
After we moved in, maybe I should do that first. Or maybe I should have done that already. Problem is I can't fire up the fireplace because our TV's sitting right in front of it because we haven't mounted it yet above the fireplace. So I guess we'll just...
Well, please don't burn the place down.
Just hope the furnace didn't go out like everything else is broken.
Yeah.
All
okay,
right.
Bye.
Everybody have a great Monday. We'll see you next time.
Okay, bye.